Welcome to Crooked Stories Theater, where each week we bring you strange and quirky tales, stories with a small twist, an odd setting, a unique character. It could be a drama, a light horror, a sitcom, really any kind of story, as long as it's just a bit crooked. Hello, I'm Paul Knauer, founder of Crooked Stories Theater. A quick programming note before we begin today's episode. With Devil's Due Season 1 wrapping, all 8 episodes available now, we'd like to remind you that new stories are in production and coming soon. We'll have a few more details for you at the end of today's episode. As always, we encourage you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform, and if you like what you hear, please spread the word or rate the program, leave a review, or drop us a comment. Today, we're excited to bring you part 7 of our 8-part supernatural western drama, Devil's Due.
Previously on Devil's Due.
Swear that she'll be cared for?
I swear it.
I'll play you for her.
No doubt. We'll be judged by this moment.
Someone's been following us.
How in the hell did you get tangled up with him?
And now we present Devil's Due, Episode 7, The Collection.
Nathan pressed the pistol against Walt's forehead.
I want to know why. Why? Why, Walt? All of it!
Walt stared at his bloody hands.
I killed your grandpa, but, well, I'm guessing you already know that.
Come off it, Walt. Killed?
Well, it sure as hell felt like it. I lost your mom, too, in a game of poker. I had the winning hand the whole time, and that's the truth. The whole time. You didn't know that, did you, Solomon?
Is that why you're here, Nathan?
He ruined my mom's life. If it wasn't for him, she might be alive now.
Your mom died of fever. It wasn't nobody's fault. That's the truth.
Oh, if we're searching for truth here...
Walt looked to Solomon. There was a look in his friend's eyes, a hesitation. Solomon's mind ran fast with uncertainty. How much did Walt know? It was obvious, of course, that Walt knew about the 18-year lie. Clearly, Rachel had not died giving birth, nor Nathan that day. But the wagon? Did Walt know about that? Or the poker game? No, there was no way he could have figured that out. Solomon decided to hedge his bet.
I'm sorry, Walt. I couldn't have you hanging around. It was too disruptive.
What are you talking about?
Solomon told me your mom died 18 years ago. Well, maybe he's lying to you too, Nathan, because, well, the truth is, your mother's still alive.
What? Oh, come on, Walt. That's ridiculous.
It was ridiculous, and Solomon had no idea what to make of it. But at least his hedge had paid off. His friend knew of only the one lie, and now Walt was threatening to toss all reality and credibility aside.
I saw her with my own eyes. Rode right past you outside the church.
No, Walt. I saw her with my own eyes. She was dead from fever.
You saw her dead?
He helped me bury her. Next to Nigel. May they both rest in peace.
You've told that particular lie before.
Damn it, Walt. It's the truth this time.
Well, then, what say we visit that grave you dug?
To what end? What are you trying to do here? What are you getting at?
I can't explain it. I know what I know. Well... At least I know what I feel.
Solomon turned to Nathan. It was time to put this to rest. For good.
We need to ride out of here, just you and me. Forget the crazy talk. Forget the past. Just leave your anger behind. Okay, start a new life. Let your sweet mother lie.
Rachel had been watching the cabin closely, questioning her earlier decision to let Walt live even a minute longer than necessary. She had hesitated back at the campsite, unsure of his connection to her son. But watching Nathan prepare to do the job she had tasked herself with, watching him become a killer, she could not let that happen. After barely missing with the first shot, she was determined to hit the next. She'd have to wait a while longer, she realized, when the man rode up to the cabin and knocked on the door.
I know you're in there. I can see your horses. I am here to execute the arrest of a young man, name unknown, for the murder of James Gilliam, pastor of the Heavenly Blessings Baptist Church of Great Bend.
The word execute stood out to Rachel, regardless of its intended context.
We ain't done nothing wrong, especially the boy. We can explain. Not that you'll believe us.
Don't know, don't care. I got a bounty, and I aim to collect.
Look, move along now. I don't think you want to be mixed up in this particular matter. It involves things of a spiritual nature.
I'll give you a minute to come to grips with your predicament. But know this. I'm prepared to burn this cabin down if it'll make you come out.
We can't let him arrest Nathan.
Make a run for it? Maybe go see that grave.
You don't believe us?
Oh, if you insist on taking it personally, well, go right ahead. Given he's been lying to me for 18 years, and you only rode with me in search of the perfect moment to kill me, a notion I presume you still hold. Seeing as how you just tried.
We might be surrounded.
Listen, by my count, there's 3 people after me. 4, if you count that bounty hunter outside, who I'm guessing don't care which one of us he takes back as long as he can make his case. Of the original 3, young Nathan sits here, the preacher is God knows where, and the 3rd is his mother, who I'm betting is out there. So no, we're not surrounded.
This is all so absurd.
Absurd or not, the choice is stay here, he gets Nathan. Go, we all have a chance.
Walt locked on to Nathan.
Nathan, you're on your own now. Make your own decisions. You can kill me. I understand the why of it. But I aim to walk out that back door right now. Your intervention otherwise. I'm seeing that grave.
Rachel caught her breath when she saw the 3 men working their way through the woods behind the cabin. And when the bounty hunter saw the same, she thought it best to pin him in place for Nathan's sake. The bounty hunter ducked, as did the 3 men in the woods.
Keep moving.
Rachel watched the men as they disappeared into the woods. Her son on his way, she turned her sights on the bounty hunter. At first, she couldn't locate him. She quickly realized he had slid around the cabin. She carefully snuck to the front porch and worked her way to the corner. Drawing her gun up, she turned the corner, ready to fire. The bounty hunter absent, Rachel continued around the cabin to the back. Movement in the woods caught her eye. He was in pursuit of her son.
No!
Rachel worked her way through the woods, driven to protect her son. Shadows danced between the trees as the wind and the moonlight collaborated to assault her heightened senses. Catching a glimpse of the bounty hunter, she raised her rifle and fired off a round, anything to slow him. The men instinctively ducked at the distant sound of the gunshot.
It's her, I know it.
I don't care who it is. I ain't sticking around to get shot.
Solomon pressed forward. Nathan, though, was beginning to doubt himself, inserting glances over his shoulder as he fought the thick underbrush. The bounty hunter also pressed his advance, cutting through the woods with an unnatural confidence. He didn't concern himself with the shots fired by the woman chasing him. His eye was on the prize, the young man somewhere in front of him. That is, until the shot ricocheted off the tree next to his head. He looked back.
If we must.
Spotting Rachel closing fast, he stepped into a small clearing.
Are you sure you're concentrating on the correct matter?
She watched as he stalked her direction, cocksure as could be.
Hold there. I will shoot you.
Come now. Surely there's no need for such violence.
One more step.
The bounty hunter continued to advance. The shot caught him straight in the gut and he fell to the ground. Rachel approached slowly as blood poured from the man's wound, pooled all around him. Rachel, gun raised, carefully extended her foot, kicked him in the side. The bounty hunter's head snapped up. He looked her straight in the eye.
I'll be taking the boy.
She could clearly see the slits form in the man's eye.
Unless, of course, you can provide a suitable alternative.
She stepped back as the bounty hunter's head jerked violently to the side. His arms twitched, his body contorted as he slowly transformed into the preacher. The preacher's body jolted with every hit. Still, he stood and advanced. Nathan hesitated at the sound of the shots.
Maybe we should go back.
Some part of you believes me, knows.
If we can help.
No. Nathan, we get you out of here. Far away as we can.
Walt tugged at Nathan's shoulder.
He's right. She wants you to live even more than she wants me to die.
Nathan hesitated. What if Walt was right and his mom was out there? It seemed impossible, but then he had seen the impossible. He wasn't ready yet to go all in on the idea. Reluctantly, he turned and followed Walt. Behind them, Rachel stood firm.
We've had our fun. Now it's time for business. I'll begin by reminding you that you invited me into this joint endeavor.
Nathan has nothing to do with this.
Insurance. A brace against poor performance on your part. I'm disappointed to cash it in.
Why don't you just kill Walt yourself?
I prefer taking souls, not lives. Not that I won't. If you insist, I could take them both.
No.
Walter and the boy.
I can do it. I want to do it.
Then make haste. I'll be watching.
With that, the preacher disappeared. Rachel gathered herself. Finally, she reloaded her gun and started on her way. Walt got there first. He stood at the edge of his brother's land, technically his land now, though he hadn't set foot on it in the 35-plus years since he shot his brother. He could see the wagon up ahead. The years and weather had done their work, but the frame, the axles, even the wheels were still intact. The thing that stood out the most to Walt, though, was the metal rod still jutting from the rear, mocking him in its majesty. He approached it slowly, reached out, felt its pointed end. So much damage it had wrought. Walt dropped to his knees.
I'm sorry, brother. I tried to do the right thing. I tried to give you peace. I tried to be a father to your beautiful little daughter. I tried to give her a good home when I couldn't. I tried to watch over her, protect her. I failed. I didn't see her standing there. I swear, I would have never let her see what she saw. Her father, oh God, dying, shot as she watched the poor girl. It was mercy, but not for her. It was hell. I couldn't take it back. I tried. I did, but I failed. I thought maybe if she didn't have me, if she never saw me again, she'd have peace. And she needed a mother. Forgive me, brother. Please, give me the peace I could never give her. No, give it to him. Give it to Nathan. He's carrying it all now. Help him let it go. He's a good boy, your grandson. You'd like him. He's a lot tougher than he looks. I'll tell you that. And Nigel, I'll try some more, okay? I'll do right by him. Yeah, I'll do right.
Walt gathered himself. He knew he couldn't stay long. He stood, nearly bumping into Solomon and Nathan. He hadn't heard them approach. Nathan's emotions swirled at what he had just heard. How to make sense of it all. It felt sincere, sounded sincere, but all he'd been told by the people he trusted.
Where are they?
Walt, incapable, Solomon had buried Nigel. And according to his friend, Rachel, too.
Round the corner, well, past the barn overlooking the house and the back field.
They worked their way that direction, the occasional glance back to confirm the absence of the bounty hunter. As they rounded the corner of the barn, Walt saw Nigel's grave first, the wooden cross rotting and broken. He stopped dead in his tracks when he saw Rachel's.
What, son of a...
Mom?
God Almighty.
It's him.
he did this.
Next on Devil's Do.
The meek shall inherit, Rachel.
She made a deal.
You're pure, Walt? Is that what you think? There's no darkness in your heart? Your soul was mine.
But it wasn't.
The Devil's Do season finale, episode 8, Lest Ye Be Saved. Thank you for listening to Crooked Stories Theater. Tune in each week for new episodes or even completely new projects. If you enjoy our stories, please help us spread the word and follow us on your favorite platform. And if you're listening on a platform that allows reviews or ratings, well, we'd sure appreciate the boost of a good review. Finally, we invite you to visit crookedstories.com for more information on who we are, our actors, our stories, and upcoming projects. You might even bump into a bit of bonus content, such as downloadable scripts. Again, thank you for listening. We hope to see you again soon.